Amen. Thank you all. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to continue the lesson this morning on the judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is what we're leading to. And everything that we're doing, everything we preach and teach is trying to prepare you for that day. And not only for that day, but every day. You want the blessings of God in your life. And the Bible tells us how we can have that. We can live a separated life to the Lord and separated from the world. And the worse this thing gets, and it's getting worse and worse, the easier it is to see that separation. It ought to be easier. Amen. As the world gets worse, the Christians shouldn't get worse behind it. Amen. There ought to be a separation. And they've been changing for a long time. And unfortunately, a lot of churches and Christians today are adapting to the changes instead of standing for the truth. And so as we prepare for this judgment seat of Christ, we're looking at the different judgments that we face, each person that's saved. The first one we looked at was the judgment as a sinner. We were judged at Calvary for our sins. And Jesus Christ took that for us and took our place. And the last few weeks we looked at the fact that we're judged every day as sons. So as a sinner, we were judged for our sins on Calvary. And that was placed on Christ for those that are saved. And if you're once you're saved, you become a son of God, and we're judged every day in the life as a son. And we looked at the fact that if you would judge yourself, it would be a whole lot better off than God having to deal with you. Well, this morning I want to talk about judgment as a sinner. And everybody should have the handout, I believe, for number 3. Let me see if I have any more. Does anybody need lesson number 3? All right. I should have handed these out earlier. I forgot. Let's see anymore. All right. All right. Anybody else need lesson number 3? I got some extras. Anybody forgot theirs? All right. All right. So we're on lesson number 3, the judgment as a sinner. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. In verse number 11, I'll read this and then we'll get started on this one, judgment as a sinner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 10. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his heart." Is that what it says? Well, that's what some people want you to believe today, that nothing matters what you do in your body. It's just what's on the inside. But this is a saved person. It says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. When it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, it mentions the terror of the Lord. So he's a loving God. He loved, past tense, the world so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. Amen. Until somebody gets saved, the wrath of God abides on him. I've heard, I believe Brother Jack Wood preached a message entitled, "The Lord's Coming Back and Boy Is He Mad." Right. And there's some things that he's going to make right. And I don't want him to have to make things right in my life. Amen. I'd like to try to get what I can. And I know there's things I'm going to have to answer for. Up to this point, I understand that. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what we do as preachers. If a preacher is not preaching the whole counsel of the Lord and trying to shed some light on what God has for his children and instruction and righteousness and preaching the book so that the Holy Spirit can take the word of God and he can bring conviction in your life and he can help make changes. If the preacher's not trying to persuade men, he's not doing his job. I've said this before that I heard an old preacher say one time talking about whenever the pulpit was violent, the streets were calm. Mm-hmm. And now the pulpit's calm and the streets are violent. Yeah. Right. We need constant affirmation and constant reminders of what we ought to do as a child of God. Yeah. We need that. And not just for today. And thank God that you can have blessings from the Lord right now. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to receive blessings from God for living right. God will do that for you right now. There's the law of sowing and reaping that he put in place. And if you do right and live right, you're going to reap right things. God will bless and and he'll provide right now. There's everybody in this room can give testimony about how when you took a step of faith and obeyed God, God immediately returned a blessing to you.
Amen.
It's wonderful how it works that way. God has been so faithful to do that. But we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ as well. And that's why he said, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. And so Paul preached this thing of the judgment seat of Christ to this church at Corinth. And that he dealt with problems in the first book, the first letter he wrote to them, some sin that was there. And the second book, it appears they got some things right. Aren't you thankful for the opportunity to get things right with God? And it appears they got some things right. And then he tells them here in chapter 5 that they're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of everything done in their body. This is after salvation. They're going to stand there. If you're lost, if you're not saved, you'll stand at judgment also. This is the great white throne judgment. And what you've done for Christ will not be put on trial. Your works will be put on trial. And they're not good enough. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So you'll stand at that judgment one day as well. Everybody, I heard a preacher preach a message one time entitled, Everybody Gets to Go to Heaven. And what that means is everybody will get to go to heaven one day. The Bible said that death, that hell is going to give up those that are in it, and they're going to stand on absolutely nothing. The Bible said they're standing on nothing. Amen. If you've got a fear of heights, that day will be a terrible day. I mean, it's terrible for more reasons than that, but amen. I mean, standing on absolute, and it's not talking about a glass that they're standing on over, you know, overlooking Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
They're standing on absolutely nothing.
That's right.
But they get to get out of hell for a little bit.
And the Bible says that the earth is God's footstool, so how big would that make God?
Yeah. That's right.
The earth is considered, I mean, that's what you're standing before.
Right.
Being that big on nothing. You're
yep.
Standing there.
And so,
having the answer. For, wow.
And then all you have to show is whatever works you've done. And it's not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I'm not going to be at that one. I'll be at this one.
Praise
and I know that. Amen. I know that I'm saved.
Amen.
And so we're going to stand before God. Now this. So this is why Paul said we persuade men. He's not persuading men to be saved in this passage. He's preaching and writing a letter to a local New Testament church.
Right.
Saying we persuade men. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day. So I'm thankful for the preaching over the years that I grew up with where men stood up. And whether I liked it or not, they preached it. But it's helping me for that day.
Amen.
They tried to persuade me. Amen. And that's what preaching ought to do. It ought to persuade you. It ought to move you. The Holy Spirit should have something to work with. Can you imagine the churches this morning that he has nothing to work with? Either because they're not using the right Bible or it's not a clean vessel or they're not living right or not doing right. I thank God for his mercy and grace.
Yes.
But man, I can't imagine what he has to work with this morning. I mean, I thank God that he still can use us. And we're supposed to be a willing vessel. And there's so many Christians today that could care less about what God or his word thinks. So they would never say that. Well, their life sure does say it.
Amen.
Loud and clear. I could care less what God says or his word. And so we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day. So this judgment is a future tense judgment. It's a future tense judgment that'll take place in heaven one day. This is when the Christian will be judged according to what kind of servant he or she was to the Lord during their life on this earth. So after salvation, remember, everything before salvation is under the blood. It's on the cross of Calvary. God took care of all that. This is not judging those sins. God took care of that on the cross of Calvary. This is the things that you've done in your body, and it's judging what kind of servant you were to the Lord. Whether you did things for yourself or you did them for God. One day, like I said, we were judged at Calvary for sins. We're judged in our everyday life as a son. And one day we will face Jesus Christ and be judged for the things we did in our bodies after we got saved. As a child of God, we have escaped the judgment of hell.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Amen. Christ took our place. But we can't escape self-judgment and Christ judging us. So we will all appear at this. This is one appointment that you will not skip out on. If you had to stand before a judge today, you could try to get out of it, and you could try to miss the appointment, all those kind of things, and make it up later. And of course, if you do something now, you're not going to be tried for like 3 years because they're backed up in the court system. Amen. So the Lord's coming back in the next 2 years. You got time to do whatever you need to do. Amen. I'm not advocating doing anything. But you're not going to escape this judgment. And sometimes I believe there's an attitude among churches and Christians today that's found in Romans chapter 1 when they knew God and they glorified Him not as God. And down at the end of chapter 1 it says that not only did they know, the judgment of God. I'm gonna read it so I don't mess it up here. But this is a testament of a lot of churches today. Romans chapter 1, verse number 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. And everybody in here this morning, we're going over some of these judgments. The judgment seat of Christ and those things. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's a mentality of a lot of Christians today. I'm going to live my life however I want to, and I really don't care what the Bible says. But I'm telling you, that day, when you see the wounds, the Bible said you'll see the wounds that are in His hands. When you see that, the lacerations, the wounds that are found in Him, what He did for you on the cross, and then you're going to say, Lord, I lived however I wanted to because I really didn't care what Your Word said. There's going to be a lot of tears shed that day. I'm pretty sure that as I read and study that the tears are not going to be wiped away till after that day. And so we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. At this judgment, we'll receive rewards based on what we did for Jesus Christ after we got saved, or after we were saved. You don't go to hell for sins that you commit as a Christian. That was taken care of at the judgment number one on Calvary. All right. So after you get saved, if you commit a sin, that sin can't send you to hell. I'm not going to go over it again, but when we study the doctrines of salvation, one of them, there's many that prove this point, but one of them is the doctrine of spiritual circumcision, where your flesh was cut loose from your soul is sealed, your flesh is still capable of sinning, but it does not affect your soul.
Amen.
It doesn't affect your eternal state with God there. So thankfully, when you sin, when you commit sin as a Christian, it's not going to send you to hell. But you don't get to go to heaven because you serve the Lord. What do you mean by that? I mean, your good works are not going to get you into heaven. You could serve a church your entire life and die and go to hell. There's probably many pastors that do, thinking that they're doing the right thing. But if they're counting on their works to get them to heaven, then they're badly mistaken. All right, you're not saved by works. You can serve the Lord all your life and still go to hell if you haven't been to judgment number one. The judgment that we will face as a servant of the Lord is called the judgment seat of Christ. The majority of Bible students believe that this judgment will take place following the rapture of the church. I don't know for sure when it'll be, if it'll be as soon as you die and go up, or if it'll be after the rapture of the church and everybody's together, and then there'll be one judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not sure, but if it is at the rapture of the church, those Christians that died in the book of Acts, they're waiting a long, long time before that judgment. You say, what are you getting at? If you were to die today, it might be another 10, 20, 30 years. Who knows? I mean, I think the Lord's coming back sooner than that, but we really don't know. No man knoweth the hour. And so that would be a long time to be up there waiting on that time, on that day. And I've heard preaching before where I would, I would hate to stand behind the Apostle Paul at the judgment seat of Christ. Or, you know, Sister McFadden just passed away. And they said, man, I'd hate to stand behind her. She was such a godly lady and just served the Lord with her life. And, you know, I don't know how all that's going to play out. But at the end of the day, nobody else matters there except for you and the Lord. I mean, it's not going to be comparing ourselves with one another. When we get up there, it's not going to be, oh man, Paul's in front of me. It's going to be, oh my, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right in front of me.
Amen.
And it's between me and Him.
Yes.
Have y'all ever been in a room or been in a situation where there's might be a bunch of people, but you feel like it's only you and one other person standing there?
Amen.
Amen. And so, I don't know exactly when it'll be. There are some scriptures that indicate that maybe this judgment will take place on an individual basis following the death of a Christian. I don't know about you, but I'd want to get it over with.
Amen.
Amen. If I was gonna, I'd like to be able to spend, you know, my time in heaven waiting on everybody else to get up there and just, all right, we got that out of the way. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
I'm sorry for where I failed you. Thankful that I was able to do some things for you, and let's move on. I don't know how that'll work, but let's look at a couple verses that might indicate that. Right here, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. And again, we don't know for sure. These are just some verses that you can consider. All right. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Okay? That does. And then immediately it says that, and then it goes directly into verse 10. We must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And so there might be an indication here that when you die, you go straight into this judgment seat of Christ. All right, look with me in, and then you got verse 10 there. So, all right, look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I'll quote it for you. Let's go over there. I want you all to look at it. Hebrews 9, 27. All right, Hebrews 9, verse 27. This should be a familiar verse to everyone in here. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So another indication that it may be as soon as you die. Again, we don't know. The saved people living when Christ return, they're going to be judged following the rapture. All right. So it may be all together. So if you're not, if you've not already passed away before Christ comes back and we're raptured out of here, we might be judged at that time. It may be that judgment for each Christian takes place following his death. And the rewards are handed out in front of the whole universe after the rapture. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, 8. We're just trying to look at different verses that apply to this judgment seat of Christ. Now, when it takes place, we're not really sure if it's after a Christian dies or after the rapture. But one thing is for sure, it's going to take place.
Amen.
That's one thing that you can mark down and understand that it will take place. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse number 8. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. And so there's an indication here that you might get judged as soon as you die, but then the rewards are handed out when everybody's present at the reward ceremony.
Amen.
Amen. And I've said this before, you know, we're going to go over the judgment seat of Christ and what takes everything going through the fire. We're going to go through all that as time goes on in our class. But, man, I can't imagine after all the Lord's done for me. And the Bible said that we get to take these rewards and these crowns that we can earn, and we get to throw them back at His feet and use those to worship Him.
Amen.
And so I don't know about you, but I would hate to get up there and all of my life's work sits there and gets burned up in flames, and maybe one thing comes through like a little nugget. I think about these things. I don't know about you. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins.
Yes.
For taking my place.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for my family. Yes. Thank you for my children. Thank you for the church you gave me. And here's what I did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Amen. How humbling and, I guess, humiliating that would be. Not because I'm anybody, but because He's worthy.
Amen.
Because He's worthy. And so I can't imagine that day having to do that. But so it may be that the whole universe would see it in front of everybody. And not everybody's getting a participation trophy when we get to heaven.
Yep.
Not everybody's going to get one. They're not going to take everybody's good things they did for Christ and put them in a pile and equally distribute them between everybody.
That's right.
That's not going to happen.
Amen.
All right. Whether you like it or not. And so, all right, we're going to go ahead and start on this next part here, examining some of the verses in the Bible concerning the judgment seat of Christ. We've got about 15 minutes left this morning. So go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be reminded of this day. And the reason we started out the whole study we did when I started back in January or December, whenever it was, on why we do what we do, the answer is to please the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And because we're going to stand before Him one day and we want Him to be pleased with our life as a Christian. All right, Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. Romans 14, 10. The Bible said, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way." And we can go on there again in verse 14. He said, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." And he goes on to talking about, again, standing at judgment. We're all going to stand before God, but putting a stumbling block in the way of our brother. The things that we can do to cause other people to trip up and slip. But he starts there. You know, I don't know how many times somebody's seen a shirt that some people wear that says, "God is my judge." Has anybody ever seen that before?
Yeah.
Pretty much telling you, "Don't judge me, God's going to judge me." They have no clue what they're talking about.
Right.
They have no clue. A preacher can get up from God's word and preach the word of God and they say, "God's my judge."
Right.
What do you think this book is here for? To prepare you for that. I mean, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Hopefully they're saved, because if they're not, God is a righteous judge. And if they are saved, God's still a righteous judge. And they say that only God will judge me, or God is my judge. And they have no clue. They definitely don't know their Bible if they are saved. They don't know it at all. And so every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess is aimed at saved people here. I know that sometimes we use that verse when preaching, talking about lost people are all going to stand up and that they will give an account that God is God, that He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here, in context, He's talking about saved people. The Bible indicates that we can confess our sins and get right down here, or we can confess them at this judgment. I mean, it'd be much better for you to get right with God down here than to have to do it that day. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I'm not going to get into the verses right now that are after what we just read there in Romans, but you can cause other people to get tripped up that day. There's a lot of pastors that are going to have to give an account for how they led people astray. They're still going to have to give an account that day. That each individual will have to give an account of themselves, or that pastor is going to give an account for that flock and how he led them astray and caused a stumbling block because he didn't believe the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 24. "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." So what are you saying there? I'm saying that the Bible indicates that we may be can confess our sins and get right down here, or we can just wait and confess them at the judgment. After salvation. All right, we can give an account of ourselves down here and stay right with God, or we can give that account up there before we are presented to Jesus Christ as His bride. Look at me in Ephesians chapter 5. I know this is a lot of Bible turning, but we're doing Bible study here. Amen. One of the best things you can do as a Christian is get familiar with your Bible. I mean, read it every day. You know, it would help any preacher out tremendously if people would just read their Bible.
Amen.
Because if you already had an idea of what the Bible was, I mean, because you read over it and familiarized with the stories and stuff, when a preacher gets up and preach, he don't have to explain the whole story because you read it and you know it. It would help out. It would help you out a whole lot. You get a whole lot more out of the preaching if you read your Bible. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26. Ephesians 5, 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about the church there in verse number 25. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. And the context here is Christ and the church. He's drawing comparison with a husband and wife as well. And was talking about the church just staying right with God. Submitting ourselves to Christ. Submitting ourselves to what the Bible asks of us as a child of God. And if we would do that, then He could present it a glorious church. And we're going to go through that fiery time where all of our works, all the things we've done for Christ after salvation will go through that refining fire. And only what's done for Christ will last and come out pure on the other side. But man, it would be nice for us to be able to go and stand at the judgment seat of Christ and actually have our hearts and our minds right with God. Wouldn't you like to go out that way?
Amen.
I mean, maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've sinned against God up to this point. But man, it sure would be nice before we meet Him to be right with Him. Amen. And because we don't know when that will be, we don't know when we'll be raptured out or when we'll die. No man knows the day or the hour. We have no clue. Then try to stay that way.
Yeah.
Man, get right with God. Just live right. Get up every day and just live right and do right.
Amen.
Right? Amen. And if you mess up, get right with Him right then and there.
Amen.
Repent and get rid of whatever stuff's in your life that's slowing you down.
Amen.
And that way when we stand before Him, we'll say, Lord, I mean, we can be like Paul. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Paul wasn't perfect. But all the way to the end, when he messed up, he got right with God. Just like David. David, man, when you read through his life, he messed up a lot. But he immediately repented in tears and sacrificed and said, God, I'm sorry, I blew it. Immediately after. And it's a good picture of what we ought to do to prepare for this day. So there's the indication here that we could get right with God before being up there so we can be presented to Jesus Christ as His bride. All right, let's look at one more. Go back to where we started. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I should have had you keep your place there. I knew I was going back. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Just looking at some different verses that deal with this judgment seat of Christ. And we'll finish on this one. And the next week we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which go into detail about how that day will play out in the gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, and those things. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. All right, so we can be praised at this judgment and receive rewards or we can be reprimanded and lose rewards. The things there in verse number 10 are probably some of the things that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which we're going to look at next week. And so you can receive praise or you can receive a reprimand that day. Just like most people's jobs, at least it used to be this way, when you had an evaluation, they would tell you, hey, these are the things you did a good job on. These are the things you need to improve on. Of course, now at our company, I had an evaluation last year, and my boss said that he was told that he could not give anybody an excellent rating. He said, I was told I cannot give anybody an excellent rating. And I don't know if it was because of raises or what. I don't know why, but he said, I can't give anybody that. He goes, but I honestly have nothing negative to say. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. And so, but, you know, during that time, so at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be the same. It's either going to be some kind of praise, which we talked about. There's other verses that I'm probably not going to deal with in these passages, but you know, there's things you do for God down here, and if you do it so you can get a pat on the back, that will be your reward.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, congratulations, you got your reward. I've been in services before where somebody will do something, and then the pastor fails to mention it, so they'll stand up and say, I just want to let everybody know that I mowed the grass last week. Has anybody ever seen that before? You know, I want to say, congratulations, you have your reward. Amen. Now you're not going to get one in heaven. And so, I was a regional manager there for several years at Power Secure. And so there'd be people come to my office. Every time they did something good, they'd come in there and tell me about it. Every time. Like I didn't notice or something. I'd say, thank you for doing your job. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody just shows up to work on time,
yeah, right.
I mean, it's a miracle. They could play on their phone all day long, but if they just show up, then they're a good employee.
Right.
And it's really sad the days we're living in. But you know what? Some Christians are treating this thing of serving the Lord that way.
Right.
If we just show up sometimes, then we're doing God a favor. And so we're going to stand before Him one day. The terror mentioned here in verse 11 indicates that this judgment should not be taken lightly. This is not something to laugh or joke about. That's why I don't like it when I see these shirts that say, God is my judge. Because I believe that they're taking this thing lightly.
Amen.
That they're making a mock at sin. And the Bible said if you do that, you're a fool. Fools make a mock at sin. So if they want to live however they want to live and do whatever they want to do and say, God is my judge, they're making a mock of sin and they're a fool. And if they are saved, man, Lord, help them.
Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for.
Oh, absolutely. Two more verses very quick. We got 3 minutes and I'd like to try to leave a little bit of time if anybody's got a comment or a question. Don't always get to do that, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't ever want to be confusing or, you know, God's word is not confusing. If you're confused by it, a lot of times a preacher's the one that did it, and I don't want to be that guy that does that. So if anybody ever has any questions, please ask. 1 Corinthians 4:5.
Amen.
All right. We're talking about this thing not being taken lightly. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Is that not a scary thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've heard preachers preach about this too. And again, we don't know. But, you know, in heaven, they're going to bring down this big projector. And project on the screen all these things that you've done, you know, in secret. God's going to reveal all the things that day. You know, I don't know what cloud-based unit He's going to be using to do the projecting on, but
of course Amazon
cloud-based. But I don't know if that's how it's going to play out, but there is some truth to what they preach because it's right here in this verse. That's a scary day.
Yeah.
Amen. That the Lord's going to make manifest those things. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. You can, on the outside, look like you're doing the right thing, but God knows your heart.
Yeah.
And that day will reveal it. All right, last one, Romans 2:16. You know, the world just absolutely makes a mock of Christians and of our Bible. I've never seen, I don't know anything about this show, but I saw an advertisement for it the other day. Something about God messaged me or something. I don't even know if that's what it's called. It's about a guy that gets like a Twitter message from God or something.
God friended me.
God friended me or something like that. Has anybody seen that advertisement? I watched it. Don't tell me if you watched the show. But I saw it. It said like God friended me or something. You know, talk about how all of a sudden he got a message from God on like Twitter or something. And the whole show's about that. Well, I'm telling you, bud, you got a message from God.
Right.
And the problem is most people don't want to receive it. No. You have blocked him.
Yeah.
Amen. Put it in the terms that everybody understands. You've blocked him. And one day you're going to stand before him. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, last verse.
Yeah.
In the day when God shall judge the what?
Secrets of man.
The secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We talk about the terror of the Lord. That's going to be a scary day. How would you like your secrets to be revealed? Well, let me help you. Don't have any with God. And do right. Don't have anything to hide. I mean, you can show up to church and look, have nice clothes on and go through the whole church service and praise God and get up and sing and do all those things and praise the Lord. Everybody thinks, man, they're doing great. But God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows what's at the house. And God knows what's in the car. And God mm-hmm. knows what you do and what you think and what you watch and where you go. And He knows all those things. And so it's better for you just to get it right with God and say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do every day of my life. I'm going to live for you than to have those secrets revealed.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
All right. Comment. Go ahead.
Something like this and not say something. I try not to. But you run into people who's had bad things happen to them. There's been a lot of injustice. You know, depending on how much money you got or what judge you get here, you may win or lose. But there's going to come a time when all rights, all wrongs will be made right. Everything that somebody has done wrong, and a lot of Christians struggle with this, they want somebody to pay. They've really, truly been done wrong. Things that people have said, things that people have done, and it's frustrating when you think they're going to get away with it, but they're not.
That's right.
There's going to be a day when God is going to make all wrong right. Not about some people, I'm telling you, you just got to give it to God. You can't hold that, it's just going to destroy them. You've got to give
right.
it to God and say at that time, and it won't be a matter of, you know, if they've got the right attorneys, if they've got the right connections, if their attorneys are friends with the God's a righteous God.
That's right.
And He is going to judge righteously.
That's right.
And you've got to get stuff like that in God and just say, yeah, I was done wrong, and they deserve wrong. Their vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I believe God is going to be a much better avenger than we can. And sometimes I think we get in the way of God because we want that injustice to be fixed. It's going to get fixed.
Yep.
They're going to have to deal with whatever they did to us.
That's right.
At some point, that's all.
And, you know, we might not see it here, but those people are miserable.
Yeah.
If they did something wrong and they're not right with God, they could put on a smile all day long, but they're miserable.
Yep.
I'm not saying you need to take joy in that. Mm-hmm. David did.
Yep.
I mean, David prayed. David understood vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, so he constantly asked him, Lord, would you please kill him? Yeah, I mean, he prayed all those things. So just know that they're miserable. But one day, like he said, they'll all be made right. And another thing I want to mention lastly, too, is that everything that we'll be judged for should not be a surprise to you. There'll be nothing that should take you off guard. Because when he judges, guess what he's going to open? He's going to open the book that he gave you. And I haven't read it. It's not going to be a proper answer at that day. Just like in school for like a book report or something. And the teacher says, all right, come up and give us a verbal book report. Well, I haven't read the book. Well, that it doesn't fly, you know, in English, and it won't fly in heaven either. Amen. Unless, you know, you're part of a socialist school, and then you'll move on to the next grade. All right, let's pray. Brother Steve Gaddis, would you please pray and ask the Lord to bless our morning service and thank you for our Sunday school.